Amen. Jesus, thank you. What a privilege to be able to sing together that song and other songs that the music ministry selects for us. We do appreciate them so much and all that they put into that, the ones who are involved in the music all throughout the week and every aspect of the services as was shared with us this morning. And just to mention, you don't need to turn there in your bulletin, but just as a reminder, then your bulletin every Sunday this year, there's a quote regarding worship, and the quote this morning is by John Wesley, who himself was a great hymn writer, songs of worship and testimony. And the quote is this: "Have an eye to God in every word you sing." Have an eye to God in every word you sing. I trust that'll be true of us as we seek to worship more in 2019. You know, we're halfway through the year, a little over halfway through the year, but as far as Sundays goes, the first Sunday that we've been together since we have started the second half of the year. I don't know, as you look at your own life and your own desire to worship more in 2019, I wonder where you feel that you stand in that. I examine my own heart, and I'm very much challenged. I'm thankful that we have a friend in Jesus that we sang about this morning. And when we're having heavy burdens and we're discouraged and we're struggling or frustrated, you know, He's there and He's faithful. And I hope that you will take it to Him in prayer. If maybe you're discouraged this morning, maybe you're discouraged about your worship, maybe you're just discouraged about something else, I don't know. But we're going to talk this morning again about worship. We're doing that the first Sunday of every month during this calendar year. We're considering together this idea of worshiping more in 2019. And we've really kind of crystallized this idea of worship as the recognition, acknowledgement, and expression of the infinite superiority of God. So it starts by recognizing that God is infinitely superior to you, to me. But you know, we can recognize that without acknowledging that. I can recognize it to be true without acknowledging it to be a reality in my own life. And I can recognize the reality of who God is and how He is far beyond me. And I can acknowledge that, but I could fail to express that back to God. And that, I would suggest, is some of what worship is. I definitely don't insinuate that I've got it all figured out in any means. But we've looked at the Hebrew word, shaukal, and the Greek word proskuneo, and both of those words, and we've been following them through, going through the Old Testament into the New Testament, and both of those words emphasize this thought of bowing down. We look back in the Pentateuch at the real foundation that we have developed for worship there by God in those first five books of the Bible, following this Hebrew word, shaukal, as my brother Renji says, shock and awe. A very good way to look at that word and to see that as we come before God and we recognize who He is, we should be shocked by His greatness. We should be in awe of who He is. And then we looked at the historical books in the Old Testament and we thought about the response of the people of God throughout history as we followed that word through. And then we went into those books of wisdom and considered the wisdom that we need to truly worship God rightly. And then in the Old Testament, we finished up with the prophetic books, and we thought about worshiping God as we see Him and see worship in the future as the prophets looked ahead, particularly to the millennial period and even into heaven, and applied that now. And then last time, in the beginning of the month of June, we thought about the disciples in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts, and how they worshiped the Lord Jesus. And we sought to bring that into our own lives. And so now we've worked our way up to the book of Romans, and it's really interesting that in Romans through Jude, you only have three times that the word proskuneo, the Greek word, is actually mentioned. It surprised me, to be honest with you. One time is in 1 Corinthians 14, and that's unbelievers, or those who were uninformed, coming in among a group of believers and seeing that God was among them, and it says that they fell down and worshiped. And then in Hebrews chapter 1, we find the angels worshiping the Lord Jesus. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, we find that third mention of the word proskuneo, for bowing down, for worship. And there we find it was an Old Testament reference back to Jacob, and he was blessing his sons, and he was leaning on his staff, and the writer to the Hebrews says that he worshiped. But then we get to the book of Revelation, and that's where we're going to be this morning, because we have a number of passages here in the book of Revelation. And of course, if you're familiar with this book of the Bible, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we find the scene shifting back and forth from earth to heaven. From earth to heaven. We find future things revealed to us today regarding what is going to occur on the earth. And he begins talking about what's occurring right now, but for most of it, what's going to occur, and also what is occurring in heaven right now, and what's going to occur in heaven in the future. And the worship that we find, as we follow this word, proskuneo, we find it employed frequently in the book of Revelation. And that's not surprising, because so much of Revelation takes place in heaven. We don't find the word used on earth in a positive sense. Rather, we find people worshiping idols, worshiping the Antichrist. But in heaven, we find people worshiping God the Father and God the Son. And that worship is primarily expressed in a verbal way, with words. Now, we also find actions, and as we do our reading, you will see the 24 elders there in heaven. You will see them do two things in addition to what they verbally express to God. You won't be surprised at the first thing if you've been here for our studies and you've been looking at this word. They fall down. They fall down. They recognize and acknowledge and express the infinite superiority of God to them, and they fall down and they cast their crowns before God. They recognize that any authority, anything that they have that's of value, should go back to Him. We see that in heaven. You know, it's a blessing for us that we are able to express our worship to God through words. God has created us as creatures who have the ability to communicate. We can communicate with each other. But because we have a spirit, we're not just body and soul like your pet dog or canary or fish. Rather, we have spirit. And if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if we've been forgiven of our sins through a relationship with God by faith, not by our works, not because we worship so well, not because we know God so well, but because we have received the Lord Jesus as Savior, the one who died for our sins and rose again. Because of that, we have been made alive, we read in the New Testament letters. We were dead in sin and trespasses, but we've been made alive. We've been given a new life, an eternal life, an abundant life, and the Holy Spirit of God has come to live within us, and by Him we are able to communicate and commune with God, and we can use our words. It's not the only way to worship. We've seen that, and we will see that words are not the only way we can worship God, but they are a very important way, and we find them here in the book of Revelation. We find people communicating their thoughts and feelings regarding God to God. Okay? And I think that's very important what we're going to see this morning. They are communicating about God, but they are communicating about God to God. So let's look at the book of Revelation, and we're going to read through these passages, And after we read through these passages, we probably could close our Bibles and praise God and worship and go home, because it's going to be a hope for you, a beautiful experience, just as we read together these passages, beginning in Revelation chapter 4. And I'm going to read the surrounding passage so that we can get a feeling for what's going on when you see the word worship. So we start out in chapter 4. And this is the first three chapters of Revelation take place really on earth. The first chapter, John's in a vision. The second and third chapters, there are letters being written to seven different churches who were historical churches at that time and have implications for us. But chapter 4, it starts out, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven." So now John is going up in a vision to heaven. So notice in verse 8, "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created.'" Chapter 5 and verse 8. "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for You were slain, and have redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.' Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.' Then the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him who lives forever and ever." Chapter 7, verse 9. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Chapter 11, verse 15. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, 'The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever.' And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and Your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that You should reward Your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear Your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth.'" And finally, chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servant shed by her. And again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! The worship of heaven. The worship of heaven. You know, my view is when I get to heaven, I'm going to worship like the way that I read that they worship in Revelation. The living creatures, these four living creatures, these angelic beings that are mysterious to us. And then the 24 elders that I believe are representing us and representing the nation of Israel and all who have believed on the Lord Jesus and will believe on the Lord Jesus. I believe they represent us as human beings who've been redeemed. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to worship like they worship. I want to suggest God's view. I believe that God sees that, but this week at Skyland, one of the speakers was, he made a comment. He didn't speak on the Lord's Prayer, but he mentioned that when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that one day that will be true, but I want that to be true right now, at least in this little square foot of area where I'm standing. And what about you? Do you desire that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Do you desire that God, who wills the kind of worship that we just read about in heaven, I believe that He also wills that same kind of worship on earth. God's will includes worship by believers. We started off this year in John chapter 4 and in verse 23, the Lord Jesus told the woman there at the well in Samaria, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. The Father is seeking you to worship Him, not only when you get to heaven, but here on earth, that His will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, do you want to worship here in a way that is similar to how you will worship there? Do you long for that? Does your heart long to be able to worship God now? Go back to chapter 4. I'm going to suggest that there's two primary ways that we can worship more with God. Words. And I hope that you notice that primarily when the word worship was used in these passages, when it said that someone was worshiping God, you might have noticed that they used their words to directly address God. Now, not all of the worship and praise was a direct address. Some was about God. But whenever He uses the word worship and says that the people were worshiping or the angels were worshiping, they were speaking to God with words and they were speaking to God about God. So again, I'm not saying this is the only aspect of worship, but I think it's a very important aspect. It seems to be the primary mode of worship in heaven is by verbalizing to God things about God. And I'd like for us to think about that this morning. Notice here in chapter 4, in verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, notice that word, saying. They are verbalizing their worship. They are speaking to God. Notice how they begin their worship. You are worthy, O Lord. They're speaking to God about God. It's interesting over in chapter 5 and verse 8 as we read about these 24 elders. And we find there that the Lamb has taken the scroll that nobody in the universe was able to open except Him. And the four living creatures, these angelic beings and the 24 elders, they fall down before Him. They each have a harp. Hang on to that thought. But notice they also have golden bowls full of incense. In the tabernacle, in the temple, incense would be lit and it would rise up to God. And notice what that incense is, the prayers of the saints. When we talk to God, when we speak to God, when we verbalize to God, what are we doing? We're praying. We're praying. And our prayers can go up to God as incense, not only when we're worshiping, but I think that's the primary thought here of this passage is worship. And then notice in verse 9, they all have a harp, but notice what they do in verse 9. They sing a new song, saying. They have the harps, they're accompanying, it sounds like, with instruments, but they are saying, they are verbalizing their worship, they are expressing their worship to God. And that's the two primary ways that I would suggest that we worship God with words is through prayer and through singing. And again, these things will cross over. You can sing a prayer. You can pray a song. So they tie in very closely together. But from our human perspective, I want to suggest that. And I want us to look this morning at four broad categories. We'll have to really hurry. Four broad categories regarding God that we find drawn on by these heavenly worshipers in the book of Revelation. And this morning, we want to examine that worship to find examples of how we can worship more with words here on earth as it is in heaven. So here's our thought this morning. Worship more with words. Worship more with words. So we're going to look at four different broad categories about God. First of all, verbalizing God's attributes back to Him. Verbalizing God's attributes back to Him. Attributes are characteristics. You might say qualities. How would you describe your spouse? How would you describe your best friend? You know, sometimes I talk to Kim and I tell her, I said, "Babe, you are beautiful. And you were so wise. And you were so loving and you're so giving." You know, I'm telling her things about herself. And maybe you do the same thing. If you don't with your spouse, you should. It'll bless them. It'll help you because it helps you to recognize and realize those things. How about to your best friend or a close friend or a friend? Do you tell them what you think about them? That's what we're doing with God. We are verbalizing back to God descriptions of Him. Now, truly, He is the indescribable God, but what that means is not that He can't be described, but that He can't be completely described because He's infinite. But He describes Himself in His Word. He reveals Himself to us so that we can know Him. You know, we've had some examples here in the book of Revelation. I'm just going to put them here real quickly. Again, our time is short. We've read through these. We read worship about Him regarding the fact that He is holy, telling Him that He is holy. He already knows that. But He loves to hear us express that because we've recognized it and acknowledged it, and then we express it to Him that He's eternal. He lives forever and ever is the way that it's expressed in heaven. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is omnipotent. He is the Lord God Almighty. He can do anything that is in line with His will and His character. And yes, He's wrathful. His wrath is perfectly right and necessary. Unlike our anger, God's wrath is never selfish nor uncontrolled. And we can tell God, God, You were holy. You were completely separate from sin. You were eternally pure and untainted by anything. You stand alone in Your set apartness. You are eternal. You have no beginning, no ending, no break in Your existence. You are not limited by time. You are worthy because of Your person and Your work. You alone are worthy of innumerable privileges and rights. And we could look through the Scripture and find many other examples of God's attributes. He is infinite. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. He is self-existent. He is unchanging. He is love. He is faithful. He is good. He is just. He is gracious. He is merciful. He is glorious. And that's just starting of the things that we see in Scripture. And we can tell those things back to God. He will not get bored. He will not think you're wasting your time because He knows that He is worthy of it. And He doesn't do it for Himself. He does it for you, and He does it for the universe, and He does it for the unseen beings, both heavenly and devilish. They hear us worshiping. They see us worshiping. We worship with words by recounting to God what we know about His character. We think on His attributes. We can see how it is expressed in God's Word and in our lives and how it impacts us. And we want to grow. I don't want to only tell Kim the things I appreciate about her that I told her right after we got married. I want to grow. I want to know her better. I want to deepen in that. I want to deepen in that with God. And no, He'll never get tired of me telling that He is love. But I want to learn more about Him. I want to go into the Scriptures and find out more of what He's like, that I can tell Him about that. And be careful when you worship God that you don't just catch on a few pet attributes. I say that reverentially and lovingly. You know, but we can just get caught up with these certain things about God. We want to grow in that and develop in that. Lord, we worship You because You are holy, because You are love, because You are faithful. We worship Him. You see, in verbalizing to God our admiration of His varied attributes. Isn't this amazing? This is how God is. We're blessed as we bless God. Isn't that just like God? He's the giver. You can't outgive Him. And you come to bless Him and to tell Him what He's like and how wonderful He is. And guess what happens? You're blessed. You receive the blessing because you're thinking about the One who is perfect. You're thinking about the One who created the universe, the One who the universe is all about, the One who created you, the One who you're all about. What a beautiful thing to be able to know God and to worship God. And if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, you don't get to worship Him. You're not connected with Him in spirit. Wow, we worship God for who He is. Because Your glory is so beautiful, I fall onto my knees in awe, and the heartbeat of my life is to worship in Your light because Your glory is so beautiful. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds Thy hands have made, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. We can verbalize God's attributes to Him. But secondly, we find here in the book of Revelation, following this word worship, that we can verbalize God's actions to Him. Actions are things that are done or performed. Somebody asks you when you're a kid, what does your father do? What does your dad do? And you might tell them, well, my dad worked at North State Parophilite. You go into first grade and the teacher asks you, where's your father work? And you got to try to tell them. They want you to spell it. I probably couldn't spell North or State, but I sure couldn't spell Parophilite. What does your dad do? Well, my dad is an accountant, or my dad fixes refrigerators, or my dad plays baseball with me. Or my dad brings me a surprise home. Or my dad loves my mom. I don't know what you might have said to describe your dad. What does God do? We have 8 minutes and 1 second. We don't have time to talk about everything that God does, do we? No, we'll be talking about that for all eternity. You know, we think about the actions of God, and if you're in the legal field or the insurance field, then people sometimes refer to an act of God. It's a natural hazard outside of human control, like an earthquake or a tsunami. And that they are acts of God, but that's a small portion of what we're talking about. Think about some of the things that we just read. God reigns. God redeems. God judges. God rewards. God destroys. That's some of the things that we just read. Some of His actions. Other examples in Scriptures. He saves. He transforms. He intercedes. He pursues. He sanctifies. He purifies. He protects. He guides. He intercedes. He forgives. He restores. Again, we're just getting started. I tell you something that I love to do when I'm seeking to worship alone, and I'd encourage you to think about it, both with the attributes and the actions. Use the alphabet to help you. Use the alphabet. God is Abba. He's Abba. He's my Father. God attacks wickedness. Use the alphabet. Go through. He's B. He's bold. He's beautiful. He's brilliant. He bonds us together. Go through and use that. Lord, we worship You for how You fill in the blank. God, we worship You for how You justify sinners by grace through faith plus nothing of us. God, we worship You because we see You intervening in our lives on a daily basis. In verbalizing God's actions back to Him, we are overwhelmed, or we should be overwhelmed, by His ceaseless activity for our benefit. God never slumbers nor sleeps. He never stops working on your behalf. He never stops the things that He's doing. Now, some of the works He finishes, that's true, but there's so much more that He's doing. He's working in your life. God, the Holy Spirit, is working in your life. He's working in this place this morning. We can verbalize God's actions back to Him. You give life. You give love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. I will look up, for there is none above You. I will take You at Your word, for Jesus, You have taken hold of me. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness. Lord, unto me, we can speak God's actions back to Him. Thirdly, we can verbalize God's ascriptions to Him. Ascriptions are statements ascribing something to someone, and especially praise to deity. The word ascribe means to credit or assign, as to a cause or a source, to think of as belonging to. And I think that's the real word here. And you find in the Scripture, we're going to look at this, and it's kind of an interesting thing. But you know, the victory of the championship team is often ascribed to their superstar most valuable player. And that may even be why he received that award. They're ascribing the victory to him. Now here's some examples that we find in the book of Revelation that we just read in these thoughts of worship. Power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory and blessing be to God. And you say, well, He's already all those things. Yes, He's the source of all those things. And they rightfully should come back to Him. And He should be acknowledged as the one who is the source. They should be ascribed back to Him. This is an aspect of worship that I would have never thought of. And maybe you wouldn't have either. But we find a lot of it going on in heaven. Blessing and might, praise, salvation be to our God. Thanksgiving be to our God. And so we come and we acknowledge, we ascribe these things as being oftentimes characteristics of God. We find other places in the Scripture, greatness. In the King James and in many other translations, it says, give these things to God. We give these things. We give greatness to God. I don't have any greatness to give to God except for who He is. I don't have any righteousness to give to God. I can only ascribe it to Him. The righteousness I have is all of God. The salvation I know is all of God. The strength that I experience is all of God. I ascribe those things to Him. He's the one. He's the one. Lord, to You should be thanksgiving. Lord, to You should be honor. Lord, to You should be power. Lord, You are the source of all these things, and we want to worship You by acknowledging this and in verbalizing our ascriptions of virtues to God. We are humbled by the reminder that He is everything, and apart from Him, we are nothing. What does that do? What do we want to do? What does it cause? It causes us to want to fall down before Him, doesn't it? That's what they're doing in heaven. We might be too, I'm not sure what the word is, to fall down before God. And I'm not suggesting that we all need to get out in the aisle and fall down before God, but we probably do that, at least in our hearts, and probably in reality, our posture maybe. I think these were overwhelmed. I don't think they said, I think I'll bow down right now. I think they went down when they recognized Him. When we get there, when we see Him as He is, how we're going to be humbled because we're going to know that He's everything. He's power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. He's might, praise, salvation, and thanksgiving. He's greatness. He's righteousness. He's all these things and more. They all come from Him. They all go back to Him. Lord, You are everything, and we are nothing. And finally, as we close this up, we're going to think about God's appellations. Now, if you're listening and you're not watching, you might think I'm talking about a mountain, but that's not it. God's appellations. Appellations are names or titles. And if you can't tell that I'm OCD about having all A's on here, then, you know, you'll have to forgive me for that either way. But a good way to remember it, God's names are God's titles. What do you call your parents, father and mother? You know, Kim and I were able to choose our own appellations. She chose Granny. I chose Papa for our grandchildren. Some grandparents get to choose, some don't. God has chosen how He will be addressed. And rightfully so, for He is God. And He allows us to employ them, and we find that as we look in the book of Revelation, we find them being employed here as the worshipers in heaven call out to Him by some of His names. Lord, Creator, Lamb, our God, Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, the Lord our God. And we could go on. Abba, Builder, Commander, Deliverer, Everlasting God, Father of the fatherless, God of all comfort, High and lofty, I Am that I Am, Judge of all the earth, King of kings, Lord of lords, Maker of heaven and earth, Potter, Rock of refuge, Strong tower, the Lord our righteousness, Very great reward, Wonderful, Yahweh. And we can go through the scriptures and we can find the names by which God has revealed Himself, and we can come back to God and we can worship God. Lord, I acknowledge and I address You as the I Am that I Am. I acknowledge You as Wonderful, as Counselor, as Mighty God, as the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. I come before You and I want to worship You on earth like they worship You in heaven. And in verbalizing God's names and titles to Him, our spiritual eyes are open wider. First of all, in understanding, but also in awe, as we realize who He is. He reveals Himself through His names. He says, here is who I am, and I want you to know Me. The one whom to know is life eternal, the Lord Jesus said in John 17. Oh, what a privilege to know our God. What a privilege to have our spiritual eyes open wider as we understand Him better. And we are in awe of who He is as we declare His attributes to Him, His actions to Him, His ascriptions to Him, His appellations to Him. We sang this morning, You the perfect Holy One, crushed Your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank you. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank you. We sang hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. And we could go on and on and on. And I had some songs that we sang in the Lord's Supper this morning. Most of the songs directly addressed God the Father or God the Son. Not all of them. And we can worship, again, we can worship about Him. And we'll talk about that more at another time. But right now we're talking about worshiping God. Saying things regarding God, saying them to God. What a beautiful aspect. That's how they're worshiping in heaven. That's how we want to worship here on earth. So I'll just close with a couple of questions. First of all, just a simple question. Is God worthy of your worship? You know, in the English, that word worship comes from the word worthy. Worthship, back in the old English. He is worthy. Yes, He's worthy of your worship. If you know God through the Lord Jesus, now you can know about God. You can know all these things about God. You can know more about God than somebody who's a believer in the Lord Jesus and still not be saved. You can know about God, but you've got to know God. And you know God by faith, by receiving the Lord Jesus, the one who died on the cross for your sins and rose again, believing on Him as the only hope of salvation. He is my living hope. Without Him, I have no hope of a relationship with God. I have no hope of ever worshiping in heaven because I'll never be in heaven. Is God worthy of your worship? Answer that question to yourself. Secondly, will you commit to worship Him more with your words? All of us can worship Him more, and that's our theme this year, worship more. Will you commit in your heart between you and God to worship Him more with your words? And I'm going to ask you, will you worship right now? And declare back to God His attributes, His actions, His ascriptions, His appellations. Would you worship right now, and then would you commit to continue worshiping Him more throughout today and this week? I'm going to ask, Rhonda's going to come up. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to worship quietly in prayer. Just worship to God. I wish we had time just to call out some different attributes and names of God. That would be a wonderful. We'll do that another time. And then we're going to sing just one verse of a hymn in worship. But let's first of all, let's just take a few moments and worship. Father, we thank You this morning for who You are, who Your Son is, for the great privilege that we have of knowing You, of coming into Your presence and verbalizing back to You who You are, what You're like, what You do, what You've done, what You're doing, what You're going to do. Ascribing to You all the things of which You were worthy and calling out Your names, Your titles. Oh, Father, we recognize this morning that You were gracious and You were merciful, You were powerful, and You were pure. You are the great I Am. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the righteous One. You're the sinless One. Oh Lord, we ascribe to You glory and power and honor and strength and blessing, riches. Lord, we come to You this morning. We acknowledge that everything You have done is perfect. Father, You have made salvation possible. Father, You have sent Your Son who has come to this earth, who has given His life, the perfect, holy, sinless One, was willing to give Himself upon a cross that He might be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in You, and He's been raised from the dead by You and is now seated at Your right hand. And Father, we worship this morning. We worship. Father, we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your hymn book to number 262. We're just going to sing one verse. And as you turn, I just want to remind you, you can find these things about God in the Scripture. You can find them in the writings of others and devotional books and commentaries and articles. And you can go on the internet and search for convenient lists of God's names and His attributes. You can share with one another these things that you learn. The Father is seeking such to worship Him. Let's worship now as we close with just the first verse of 262. I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're all going to stand before God. I'm not going to ask you to fall down, but you can, if God compels you to. But we're going to stand in His presence, and we're going to sing, "Holy, Holy, Holy, Lord God Almighty." Just the first verse, and then we'll be dismissed. Sing it in worship from your heart.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and
worship more.